Dude, that's like top thing of what I want to tell the world. Stop fucking listening to people tell you that you should put somebody else first. Stop. Stop listening to people tell you you shouldn't boast, you shouldn't brag, you shouldn't love yourself as much, you shouldn't be this, you shouldn't do that. No. That's all garbage advice. You should start and wake up every morning and go, oh my gosh, I love myself. I like what I'm doing. I like being around me. And then from there, everything else, relationship-wise, gets cultivated to the next level.
Welcome to the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Ooh. With our biggest guest yet.
Am I the biggest?
No, he's muscle size.
He's a slimmest.
What?
No, muscle
he's
size.
He's the slimmest guest.
I'm talking about biceps. Biggest bicep guest yet. Keaton the Muscle Hoskins, baby. Anyways, Keaton, thanks for having us at your house.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having
us. It took us a little bit to set up. But we're here.
We got here. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
So most people probably know you, but you want to give a 2 or 3 minute background of
I tell people all the time, if you call me the muscle from Diesel Brothers, then I realize that you're probably a fan. But if you call me by my normal name, Keaton, I know you're probably a friend. So for everybody that is listening, if you introduce yourself and you call me out as Keaton, I'm going to look at you much differently than if you call me the muscle. So I had a TV show called Diesel Brothers. I am a serial entrepreneur. I've built 35 businesses in the last 15 years and just recently started mentoring people on how to live the life that they want with Limitless Society. And then I have that big event coming out September 23rd at the Maverick Center.
That's a big event too.
It's huge.
The biggest speakers that we know, right?
Yeah. I'm hoping it's the biggest speakers that anybody's ever seen. We spent well over $1.5 million in speakers.
Wow. And that's a testament to what you're building and who you are.
Yeah. I hope.
Which is like the legacy of what brought you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What would you attest that to? Like, would you say is the sauce to that?
To what do you mean specifically?
Well, I think you attracting those type of people could embody something.
You know, I'm actually going to be speaking at the event. I'm going to be one of the first speakers. And what I'm going to speak on actually answers that question, which is most people daydream like 50% of their day. Like most people do that. And very, very few people actually dream, really dream. And there's a huge difference between daydreaming and dreaming. Daydreaming is what you do to fill time. It's what you do when you're bored. It's really what most mediocre people consist their lives of. Dreaming is something that creates a vision. Most people don't know that. Like you don't just dream, you dream into a vision. And in that vision, you execute and you accomplish everything you want. For the people that are coming, that I'm bringing, that for me, that are speaking, it's people who literally have dreams that gave them visions that they executed on. Like that's the underlining common denominator. Every single person on that stage on Saturday will literally tell you, I had a dream that created a vision and then I executed on that vision. And so when I fill that stadium, that's what I want people to see and feel and hear and then go and accomplish.
So I think that's super cool to be able to show like what's possible. Right? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I mean, the name Limitless, like what isn't possible at that point?
Absolutely.
Well, I saw a post that you did with Richard Branson.
Yeah.
Saying now I need to dream bigger.
Oh shit, dude.
And I'm like, he needs to dream bigger. What the hell? What do I need to do then? But that was a cool post that you're just like, yeah. You know, you can always look to someone else and I mean, in a healthy way, say, hey, I'm capable of more. Yeah. There's more potential. Jumping into kind of meat and the potatoes of the joy and fulfillment. We were just talking about the 6 companies that you currently run right now, which nutrition to FitCon to the coaching and mentors and Limitless Society, ton of different things you're doing. What's the kind of end goal that I guess you're chasing in regards to the joy and the fulfillment and how you're going to get there?
I had this conversation today actually with a gentleman that I mentor, and I asked him a simple question: what's the purpose? Like, what are you doing? What are we seeking? And the reality for men specifically, I'm not saying for women or children, but for men specifically is accomplishment. And it's essentially setting out something and then the journey to do it and then the accomplishment at the end. What we're kind of like, I don't want to say trained, but what's innate in us as men is that we like to set things out and then go do them. And then as soon as we do them and accomplish them, we learn and it feels great and the dopamine hits, and then we got to be on to the next thing. And the reality is that most people stop accomplishing shit really early in their life, and then they just kind of become this worker bee, 9-to-5 kind of person. And if you seek to find true happiness and peace and joy and fulfillment, like you're talking about, you must first seek to set out things to accomplish. And then when you accomplish them, your shit's not over. Like, you got to do it again and again and again. And my life, for me to feel fulfilled, will be when I stand on the top of Everest and I look at all my accomplishments, and then I keep going, like, until the day I die.
When I came up with the joy and the fulfillment, because that's the mission statement that I live by and now the company lives by. But, and it was like, well, we're after happiness, right? We're joy. That's not enough, because you could be happy on a day-to-day basis, but it's that accomplishment. And that's where I kind of threw in fulfillment. It's not just about being happy every day, but it's what are you accomplishing and the progression. But that is a hard, because there's also the balance of, you get that dopamine, it only lasts for a second. So you need to find those, I guess, little wins along the way. And I think you're really good at doing that. Just showing, again, your social media posts on always, like, there's so much gratitude around it. And you just, and it's not hard to have gratitude, I think, when you live right here.
For sure.
You walk out there and you're like, holy shit.
You were just out there on the phone call. It's great, yeah, right?
It's amazing. And I swear, like, one post a week from you of just gratitude, of just like, I can't believe. So you're not waiting to sell the next business, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah.
To hit that dopamine, but you're trying to find it on a day-to-day and just be grateful for what you've already accomplished.
Yeah, 100%, dude. I think I had lunch with Tony Robbins a few weeks back, and I was trying to dive in when I was there, like, what makes him different? What makes him so Tony Robbins, whatever it is? And I came to the conclusion while I was there, and I was only with him for a few hours, but it was just him and I and two other people. And I came to a conclusion that his perspective and his mindset is so clear in gratitude that he never leaves that. So, like, you know, for us, when we argue or shit comes or a fire burns or something happens, we immediately snap out of gratitude and we go, oh, I got to deal with this. I got to do this. And we start complaining. We start getting upset. We get in a fight. We get in an argument. We got a conflict somehow. And we just leave that perspective of gratitude. And what I realized about Tony is that I think, out of anybody that I've met, that man stays in that mindset more than anybody. And if that's what makes him happy and peaceful and fulfilled and feel joy and all of those things, I should probably model my life that way. And so now what I'm working on specifically is, no matter where you put me, in any circumstance, in any atmosphere, I will remain as best as possible in a mindset of gratitude, like, the whole time. And dude, it has changed. It has changed every single aspect of my life to be in a place where, even when it's hard and it sucks, that I find gratitude in that too.
How are you doing that? What are some, I guess, tips or tricks for listeners to kind of check themselves and dive into that gratitude?
Yeah. So I realized I was given a blessing through a trial when I was really young. These guys can't see it, but right here is a picture of my father with my four daughters. Or it's a painting, it's not a picture. My father passed away when I was 21. And I held his hand while he passed away. And I didn't realize the impact that had on me at the time. I now have. I've looked through it all and kind of, like, realized that, oh, okay, that was a real thing for me. But what it did for me is it put in perspective that death is near. And in knowing my father passed away early, he was 47, I, for some reason, have put that in my mind as, like, I probably am not going to be around for a long time. I don't know if that's really true or not, but I put that there. And so now I tell people, because this is one of those questions I get, how do you stay in the mindset? How do you stay grateful? I tell people they should contemplate death on a regular basis. I actually tell people you should contemplate it when you wake up and when you go to bed. Right. And that's not morbid by any means. Like, this morning I woke up, my daughter, she came to, she got in our bed, she's 2. And I laid next to her, and immediately I go to, what if today's the last day for her to be with me because I die? Or what if today's the last day for me if she dies? And thinking on death puts me in a perspective of pure and utter gratitude for the exact moment that I'm in. Like, dude, my wife knows it now all the time. Like, I will sometimes lay there and she'll see tears come down my face because literally I'm like, dude, what if this is it? I talk myself into like, what if this is it? What if right now her sipping on her bottle and telling me I'm bugging her is the last moments that I get with her, right? And then that puts me into that perspective, like, Keaton, you should just be so grateful for this. Mm-hmm. And dude, when things come, hardships come and arguments come and frustrations come and all of these things come, why wouldn't I just be grateful for all of it? Because if today was my last day, bad or good, I should be grateful for this present moment. And when I do that, again, and I don't know if this works for everybody, but for me it has. When I put myself and death in perspective, gratitude is the very first thing that comes to me. It just is. And then I'm grateful for every single moment. I mean, even as much as like, you know, for your listeners and for you guys that are sitting right here, we always think about the past and we think about the future. We never think about the present. And truthfully, the purpose of life is to be present. There's no other purpose. 100%, we're supposed to be present. And most of us don't understand that. We don't get it. But the reality is like, dude, if tomorrow's my last day or your last day, and this is the moment that we get, I should be present right here. And I should be grateful for this moment. Because in this moment, it may be the last. So I should treat it as such.
I think that's such a powerful, like what we're talking about here is almost the flip of Bezos's regret. Like look out and what would you regret when like you're saying, the true essence of life is to be, is. So how do we be in that moment? And it sounds like you cultivate that through gratitude and loving the moments that you're in, which then radiate to others and allow them to be the best version of themselves.
For sure.
That's awesome.
Let's speak to the joy and the fulfillment and in the different phases of your business. I imagine Limitless Society is a little bit different than these other businesses that you've done because you're coaching people one-on-one, myself included. I was one of your first members, right? I mean, that first month. Kind of speaking to maybe a few different businesses and how those relate to what is bringing you more joy and fulfillment and versus another business.
So I've looked at throughout my life, I've looked at one thing. I always wanted to be financially successful. Like I just always wanted to be really, really successful financially. I didn't give a shit about anything else. And then when I was 29, 30, I essentially became quote unquote a millionaire. And I realized that there was no real joy and like you say, fulfillment in it. There just wasn't. So I turned around at that time in my life and I was like, I want to do things that have more meaning and ultimately cultivate better things for people and me and my family. And so I went to work on whatever I do, I want it to help people around me, right? And it's one of the reasons why I even started Limitless Society, but every business, you know, my supplement company, which is a very successful supplement company, is called One Mission Nutrition. We give free supplements to military members. So when you buy pre-workout from me, I send that to a military member for free. When you buy protein, I send protein to a military member for free. Now that doesn't seem like a big deal, but when you have members that are military members that are overseas fighting and all they're doing is waking up, eating, sleeping, working out and fighting, protein is a really big deal.
Yeah.
Supplements is a big deal. So I put that together and I was like, this is what I want to do because I want it to affect other people. I want to make money selling a product, but I want to help and affect other people, right? And everything that I've tried to do, you know, one of the reasons we talked forever ago about partnering on Dirty Dough, and I couldn't fathom what that meant purpose-wise. And then I remember before we spoke again, I had went into a Dirty Dough and had talked to, I think it was the owner. And he was like, dude, this is one of the greatest investments ever. I love it. This has changed my life. It's changed my family's life. My kids are here working. And I thought, holy shit, dude, this is much bigger than just, oh, let's do a partnership in Dirty Dough. You're literally giving people a turnkey solution to change the generational wealth in their family. That's a big deal. Like, dude, you and I can go start a cookie company and sell cookies. Well, that's okay. But if we start something that allows people to take onto themselves the ability to provide for their family and their children's children, their children's children, like, that's a big deal. So now moving forward, I'm like, those are the kinds of things that I want to do. And again, that's why I started Limitless Society and anything that I'm doing from here on out. It's why I'm doing the event. And so when I dictate now, like, well, what do I want to do? I don't say, well, is it going to make me money? I mean, that's obviously a question I ask, but it's how will it affect and help other people? I can make money, but I don't want to just make money. I want to make money and affect other people's lives. And that's how I've dictated everything I'm doing.
Yeah, such. I mean, just hanging out, I love a lot of the, like the Limitless events and going on some of the trips together at your brother's house and doing like the sauna and just hearing those people speak on how much of a difference it's made. It's awesome. That's why I specifically asked you. I'm like, I'm sure other businesses are very fulfilling. And also this is coming from Ryan, who's been on the podcast as well. And he was like, I didn't realize how much I knew until I started sharing it and started seeing it working and affect people's lives directly.
Well, you don't really realize. And this is the cool thing. A lot of people are like, oh, a lot of people are doing mentoring now. And I'm like, great, they should. The truth is like most people have great, wonderful experiences and they just shove those experiences and the knowledge down. They never share it with the world. Why wouldn't you? Why not find someone who's going through what you've already gone through and teach and share and help and guide? Because that's really, I think, the reason that we're supposed to be here. We're supposed to help other people. And if we're not doing that, then we're not fulfilled. We're not finding joy. And I think that's what a lot of people are lacking.
When you talk about like experiences, let's get into like the raw side. Like talk about mental health and some struggles that you have or have overcome and what you've learned from that and why it's been so impactful.
So I've never had depression. I do study mental health a lot, but I've never had depression. So it's always been an issue. Like I don't know how to help people that I haven't experienced. But I have experienced a lot of anxiety. And the truth is that depression comes from thinking about the past and being in the past, and anxiety comes from being in the future, right? The answer again is, what is the purpose of life? Well, the purpose of life is to be present. My dad used to say, don't put one foot in yesterday and one foot in tomorrow and piss away today. And the truth is that people who are in those mental health states of depression or anxiety or stress are either in the past or in the future. And if they could for themselves understand how to put themselves and their mind into the present moment, those mental illnesses and issues would either go completely away or go way down. So for me, when I speak with people on issues that I know nothing about, like depression, I find solutions for things that have or can work. And again, that is, hey, maybe I should work on just being present in this exact moment. And if I find a way to do that and it gets rid of my depression or gets rid of my anxiety, maybe I should do more of that. And so for me, again, when I share with people, I'm like, hey, I don't take medication. Don't do all these things. Don't go all, you know, do all this other stuff. Why not try just being present? You know, and Bennett knows this. One of the things that we tell people to do is ice baths. Do you know why ice baths is so good? Because it's one of the only times in your life you're present in that moment. You can't think about shit when your body's frozen. You can't do it.
Doesn't work.
You can't. Now, there's other health benefits, but putting yourself in ice bath brings everything right to where you're at right now. It's being present. And so people say, well, my anxiety goes away. I wonder why. Because you literally force yourself into the present moment. And then as soon as you get out and that kind of wears off, guess what happens? Well, you start to feel it again. Well, you should look at what it was that got you there. And it was being present. Yep.
That's what I did this morning. Woke up with a headache and I'm like, I'm just going to jump in the ice bath, get some endorphins going.
Yeah.
But it's huge. Another thing that I feel probably helps you a lot is your ability to focus on yourself, not in a selfish way. And maybe it is a selfish way, but of like, I love myself. And I really appreciate the open conversations that you have. I think a lot of people kind of tiptoe around, oh, I don't want to express how I'm feeling and what I'm going through, whatever, because I don't want to offend the other person. And it seems like you're just like, no, let's just get it on the table and then let's just fix it. And if we can fix it, cool. If not, cool as well. But I just really admired that about you and want to kind of ask you a little bit more about that, kind of that openness of just, this is where I'm at, speaking your mind and focusing on your own needs, just as much, if not more than others.
For sure. So one of the things that I'm going to try to share and teach the world is we have been told that we should love God and our spouse and our children more than we love ourselves. And that's bullshit. It's the worst advice ever. Because the truth is love is something that you give. And I cannot give if I don't have. So we get tricked into thinking like, oh, I'm so low. I'm beat up. I have nothing to give. Yeah, but you better love God first and you better love your wife first and you better love your kids first. When in reality, when I find out for me that when I love myself more than anybody, I have so much of it to give. I love my children and my wife more than anybody. You know why? Because I love myself more than anybody loves me and more than I love anybody else. It's essentially a cup that I give that's filled with love. And if I don't have that cup and it's running this much, I can't give it to people. And again, it comes back to, there's so many things that come with like loving and liking yourself. My number one piece of advice for most people is, dude, stop worrying about other people for a moment. Figure out if you like yourself. If you don't, you need to change things. Figure out how you love yourself. If you don't, you need to change things. And then do things that allow you to fall in love with yourself. That's kind of a weird thing to say, right? Like, oh, I'm falling in love with myself. You should.
It's true, though.
You 100% should. If you really, really want to find true meaning and love and passion and all of those things that people seek, you should start with, do I even like myself? Do I love myself? And if you can't honestly answer, well, do I love myself more than I love anybody else? Then you should dive into why you feel like you're not worth loving more than anybody else. Because the truth is, I tell my kids this all the time, no one should love you more than you love yourself. And that's kind of, again, that's a crazy thing. People, and I, you know, of course you always get the, well, you should love your spouse more than anybody. You should love God first. Well, no, I do put God first, but I don't love him more than I love myself because I can't. I can't. It's not possible. I have $100 and I can only give so much out. But if I have what I need, I can give more out. That's the whole point of this. So that's a dude. That's like top thing of what I want to tell the world. Stop fucking listening to people tell you that you should put somebody else first. Stop. Stop listening to people tell you you shouldn't boast. You shouldn't brag. You shouldn't love yourself as much. You shouldn't be this. You shouldn't do that. No. That's all garbage advice. You should start and wake up every morning and go, oh my gosh, I love myself. I like what I'm doing. I like being around me. And then from there, everything else relationship wise gets cultivated to the next level.
I want to take that like a little bit deeper on that because, you know, the science of it is like, as you step into that love and you manifest that love outward, it's actually a reflection of what you are.
100%.
So your relationships with your wife or your partners, like that's a manifestation of how much you love yourself. The things that bother you and them is a reflection of you. You need to go inward and heal that and talk Absolutely. To it and love it and have compassion for it so you can manifest that outward. Absolutely. And then step into this newer person to be able to grow, create the next thing.
Well, dude, the truth is the world is a mirror, right? Yep. We actually learn that a lot. The world is what I mirror. Like if I have an issue with trust, that's on me and then I don't trust you. Yep. That has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the fact that I don't trust me. Well, it's the same thing, dude. If life is a mirror and you create life full of love and like and all those things, you give all of that to everybody.
Love that. We were talking that you just had lunch with Tony Robbins, right? You're with Richard Branson and you went and watched the Sound of Freedom movie with Trump. And I'd imagine that is scary to a lot of people to not kind of fit in. And maybe you could speak to that, but I see your confidence level so high due to that self-love that you're just like, doesn't matter. Like yeah. they like me. If they don't, they don't.
You know, we're friends on social media, but you see all the hate that I get. I get a lot of hate on social media. I learned a while ago, I don't know when it was, but I learned a while ago that I just check myself. Like when somebody says something and it's just real hurtful or hateful, which I get a lot, I go, does that bother me? No, because I don't agree with it. And my opinion matters more than theirs. And then I move on. And the truth is we always say that we don't care what people think and we're so focused on what we think. And then we go around spending our entire lives focused on the opinions of other people. Well, let me tell you a secret. If you want to stop doing that, you got to fall in love with yourself. And you have to love yourself more than you love anybody else because your opinion is the only one you should hold dear to you. It really is. Don't get me wrong. I want my kids to love me. I want my wife to love me, but their opinion is still second to my own opinion. And the confidence that I have and I exude comes from the self-love that I have. You're never going to walk into a place and tell me how I feel and it matter to me because I'm going to self-check it. I'm going to go, do I believe that? No, I don't. Okay, move on. Doesn't matter.
And I want to like step into that because like I think an important piece that like people might not pick up if they're not here is your humility as well, which like you can love yourself, but you have to have humility in order to cultivate that. Or else it gets lost in the message and then it becomes a I show.
I think I 100% agree with you. I also think that it's really hard to convince someone that they should love themselves and remain really, really humble. And the reason I say that is because sometimes you do have to go to the other end of the scale to find the balance of the scale. So sometimes, like for me, I don't want to, when I see somebody who's timid and shy and humble, I don't give a fuck about telling them to be more humble. I want to say, dude, fuck all that humbleness. You need to love yourself. I don't care what people think. You think you're going to be prideful? I don't care. Just do it. Fall in love with yourself. And then when you go that far to the scale, then you come back, like you said, and you're like, oh yeah, in my self-love, I am humble. Yep. I don't care what other people, and I don't even care about impressing anybody. So I don't have to not be humble.
Yep.
You know?
Well, that's where I kind of brought up the, like you said, the Trump thing. And I was like, how the heck, what's Keaton doing with Trump? Like, what is he doing though? Obviously in that situation, but like you're prepared and I don't know, you're worthy of those situations in your own mind, right? Yeah. Because you're that confidence. I'm listening to you speak and I'm seeing some goosebumps. I'm like, dude, this dude believes in it. You know, like,
I do. 100%.
That is confidence.
That's like,
and
dude,
that's where I get. Why
that's one of the things that I teach. Like, dude, if you're not doing things with passion, if you're not giving yourself goosebumps, like what the fuck are you doing? You're not in a place where you should be. You got to do stuff that you're passionate about. You can't do stuff that you're passionate about if you don't love yourself, you don't like yourself. You got to do things that you actually want to be doing that you're convinced is what you should be doing. Or else, dude, all you're doing is wandering around without any joy and fulfillment. And again, dude, we go back to that dreaming thing, that whole thing that I want to talk about on stage. Man, there's a lot of people who aren't chasing their dreams. And I wish they would. I wish they would. I wish they would find it and love it and fall for it and go for it. But they're not doing it because, oh, I got to be humble. I don't want to rock the boat. People are going to talk shit on me. And again, even though this is a whole roundabout thing of what we're talking about, like it all comes back to, do you like yourself? Do you love yourself? If you don't, you should do nothing more in this entire world than focus like a savage on falling in love with yourself. You shouldn't do anything else. Because as soon as you love yourself more than everybody else, holy shit, the world, everything opens up. Just does.
Why don't we focus on that? Because I think you asked a question earlier of like, if you're not there, what's like the first thing someone can do?
You have to understand that your subconscious runs everything. You have to understand that. Most people don't realize that the person they are is actually just run by their subconscious. And what we don't realize is that we're the sum total of our thoughts. Yeah. So if our subconscious controls our thoughts and we're the sum total of our thoughts, I should probably focus on my subconscious. So I tell people, number one, you have to heal anything in your past that there's trauma, and everybody has trauma, whether it's hard, crazy, bad, whatever. Number one, you should focus on healing trauma. Number two, probably most important, you need to figure out how you begin to say something and then do it so that you believe in what you're saying. So many people, and Bennett knows this because he used to be overweight. So many people say, I'm going to start a diet Monday and I'm going to diet. I'm going to work out really hard. And then 3 days go by, they totally give up on their goals and their subconscious goes, I don't believe a damn word you're saying to yourself.
Yeah.
And then there's no confidence. And when there's no confidence, you can't love yourself. So you got to go all the way back to the beginning and go, well, how do I build that? Oh shit. I got to start keeping commitments to myself. Even if it's small ones, dude, I'm like, hey man, I got to start waking up at 7:45 because my ass can't get up at 7:30. Okay, great. Then set the goal for 7:45. And then in 3 weeks, when you've woken up every day at 7:45, you know what that does to you? It goes, oh shit, I'm going to keep commitments to myself. One of the reasons I really like Annie Frizzella's 75 Hard is because it literally forces you for 75 days to do what you said you're going to do. And if you don't, you go all the way back to the beginning. That's how you build confidence. And that's how you start to love yourself. By keeping actual commitments to yourself. Could you imagine if you were in a room with you and you knew you weren't going to keep commitments and you said to yourself like, hey man, we're going to do this. And you're like, I know this guy's not going to do it. There's no confidence in it, right? Yeah. And how do I even love that person? I don't trust them. But dude, that's what you do to your subconscious all the time. Your subconscious literally is like, oh fuck, here we go again. This guy's telling me we're going to do this. I know damn well he's not going to do it. And it's an inner battle. And then you beat the shit out of yourself. And then it's more trauma and more damage. So realistically, what you have to figure out, even if you're the lowest of the low, figure out something you can do on a daily basis that allows you to keep commitments and then raise it and raise it and raise it and raise it until you're doing what Bennett did. lose weight, get in really good shape, diet hard, work out really hard. All of a sudden now his subconscious is like, no, we're a bad motherfucker. We're squatting this. We're benching this. My body looks better. I feel better. And I love myself more because I did that.
I mean, I got that vicious cycle of you gain a little bit of weight and then you lose a little bit and then you gain more. And every time you're losing confidence. I was losing confidence in myself. Mm-hmm. Like at 5'8", I was 310 pounds. And yeah. I was like, I don't trust myself to stick to a freaking diet. So anyways, that definitely lived through that and it sucked. But now it is true that I'm like, okay, no, this is who I am. I'm somebody that's 200 pounds now, not 310 pounds. Yeah. And that I do work out.
And how has your confidence changed?
Oh, when I'm getting my ass kicked in business, at least I can look in the mirror and I'm like, I can see some abs poking through. Good. Hell yeah.
I mean, there's no getting ass kicked in business. Come on, that never happens.
You talk about Tony Robbins, like one of my favorite sayings is he says, you want to change your mind, you got to change your physiology.
Yep.
The truth is that's where the real commitment begins, is when you say you're going to change your physiology, that's when this starts to change. That's why it's so important.
Oh, for sure. I mean, getting through the gym and just getting that release and dopamine and all that. Talking about the daily goals, that's huge. I listened to a podcast with Andrew Huberman and he said, you take your things that you're already going to do anyway, and you make them a goal. So I make coffee every morning, but if I make it a goal that I'm going to make coffee by 8 a.m., then your brain, you do build that trust. You get that dopamine hit. I was going to do it anyway. And I do it before 8 a.m. every morning anyway. But if I tell myself that's a goal and you make these mundane tasks goals, and I think it was, you want to achieve 3 goals by noon every day, even if it's making coffee, hitting the gym, making the bed, whatever it is. He was just talking about the science behind that to set up your day for success.
I want to dive also a little bit deeper and not only that part, but also like the 75 hard, because a lot of people have started, but they don't finish it.
Most.
And I think there's a key element that people miss is like being present in the moments while you're doing the actions. Because if not, it just feels like this massive wall that you'll never accomplish.
Yeah.
But once you start being present in those moments, the actually physiological dopamine that's released will, it'll come easier and you'll start building the momentum behind it, which is also what you're saying of like, as we start removing trauma and being present in the moment, we can accomplish more things.
100%. Dude, Ed Mylett actually talks about that. He's going to be at my event speaking. He talks about one more. He said, when he asked his father about being sober, he would say, Dad, do you think you're going to be sober forever? His dad said, I don't know. And he was like, what does that mean? He's like, well, I just know that I'm going to be sober today. Like just one more day, I'm going to be sober. And the reason I like 75 hard is because it is essentially making you force yourself to do that. It's just one more day. It's just one more day. And if I mess up, I go all the way back to the beginning. And then it's one more day and one more day and one more day. And the truth is like, again, and I said this in the beginning, the purpose of life is to be present. I don't care what anybody says. It's to be present. We came here to be in this present moment, gain experience from it, learn from it, and then move on. You can think about the past. You can think about the future. You should plan for the future, but you shouldn't remain in either one. You should remain in the present. But if you decide to be present in everything you're doing, you begin to make the decisions you need to based on one more, one more, one more. Like, dude, when you were battling losing weight, you're like, fuck, dude, I got 45 days of no carbs. I've got enough. Whereas in the moment, you're like, I just have to eat this meal. It's just this one meal. Oh, man, I really want to eat that cupcake. I'm going to stay right here. And I know I shouldn't do that, you know? And that's how you essentially chomp away at becoming successful.
Yeah, applies definitely to business with all the mountain of tasks that you have to overcome. It's so easy to become overwhelmed.
Yes.
Like, holy shit. I have to do so much in the next year, but it's like, well, but what do I have to do today? And not even today. I don't even want to think about today. What do I have to do in the next hour?
Yeah.
Well, I want to like elaborate on that. Cause one thing that came through was like, how often do we actually know the next step? Like, do we really know the exact blueprint to move forward? So why are we focusing on it?
Dude, that's analysis paralysis, right? Like you have so many people that talk about what they want to do, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to build. Like how many years are you going to talk about dirty dough until you just do it, right? Like how many years are you going to talk about building a business? How many years are you going to talk about losing weight? I don't know. I got to think about the right way. I got to do this. Got to do this. Got to do this. Dude, nobody knows what the hell they're doing. We're just working from one present moment to the next. I mean, you can say things are mapped out, but dude, as soon as it comes, you're like, shit, this isn't what I planned anyways. But you get into a place where you're, again, you're like, I'm in the present. It's one more. I'm going to move forward. I don't even know what the next step is, but I'm going to take it. Somebody said, how do you climb a mountain? One step at a time. You don't jump to the top of the mountain. And sometimes you don't even know where the hell you're going, but you continue to take one step at a time. You chomp away at everything in life like that. And all of a sudden you're at the top of the mountain.
And I think with business, the ability to pivot, you know, you now I'm going to do this strategy versus this strategy, and the market's changed, so I'm going to sell this instead. And in order, you just need to have confidence in your ability to pivot rather than know what the plan is, which comes back to the self-love, which I think is super, super important. And I know in previous episodes, we've talked about, like, I do believe everything we do is selfish by nature, and we try to shun it rather than embracing it. And once you can stop being like, oh, well, I'm doing X, Y, Z selfishly, it's like, well, no, you're not. Cause you're getting some for reward, sure. Even if it's a dopamine for or sure. You feel like you're supposed to do it, just recognize it for what it is, embrace it and do more of it.
And dude, if you love yourself, you have no problem with that.
Yeah.
My birthday was just a few days ago. And for my birthday, cause I'm like, what are people going to buy me? I don't need anything.
Yeah.
And even my wife's like, I don't even know what to get you. So for my birthday, we went, I took my daughters to the UTV store and I said, pick out anything you want. Right. People are like, oh, you're showing off. You're doing this. I said, no, actually, I love giving to my children. I love giving to other people. In fact, earlier that day for my birthday, I said, hey, I want to find one person to give $10,000 to. No reason. Well, there is a reason. I selfishly love to give. I love it. It literally brings me endorphins to give to people, to give to my children, to give money to people. I don't think I've had a dinner in the last 2 years. I haven't tipped at least $100, even if the dinner's 25 bucks, because I genuinely like the feeling of giving to people. And I'm okay with that. I love the shit out of myself. And I'm happy to say I give because I like to do it. But you can't do stuff like that if you can't even, like you said, recognize it and come out and say it as it is. Like, I do like to give. I do like to make money. I do like to be in shape. I do like to be confident. I do. And I'm not going to shun away from that because I love myself. I don't give a shit what your opinion is. This is who I am.
I love it. So wrapping it up to our last question, what do you want to be remembered by? What is the legacy that Keaton wants to leave behind?
I think the only thing that I care to be remembered by is that he just wanted to give. Like, really just wanted to give. I honestly don't give a shit about having a ton of money when I die. In fact, I hope I'm in debt when I die. I had a conversation today with one of the guys, and he asked me, he said, when is enough enough? Like, when have you made enough money, right? Like, and everybody kind of has a number, right? Like, my number is, I don't know, 100 million, 200 million, whatever. And he asked me that, and then I stopped before I answered him. I said, you know what? I don't have a number. You know why I don't have a number? Because I'm going to make money and I'm going to give it away. And then I'm going to make more money and I'm going to give it away. And if I have 100 million, I'm going to give away 90. And if I have 500 million, I'm going to give away 490. And if I have a billion, I'm going to give away half a billion. There is no number, because I want to give the world essentially what I'm able to get. And for me, that's what I want to be remembered as, like somebody who genuinely, selfishly, if you want to call it selfishly, like to give to people. That's what I like to do. That's why I give so much. I selfishly love and enjoy being the person that goes, hey, you need? I got you. That's what I want to be remembered for the rest of my life and into the eternities. That motherfucker just gave.
And I resonate deeply with that. You know, one of the things that comes to mind as of recently is, like, we are blessed to be here in this room at this moment of time in Utah with all the freedoms that we have. And why would we squander a gift like that?
No, so maximize it
to every, you know, inch of its potential.
Well, and that's the whole thought process of, like, of gratitude, right? Mm-hmm. And like, if we died tomorrow, we would be so great. If Bennett died tomorrow, I'd be like, dude, so grateful that I had a day with him. So grateful for this minute in our office, right? But you don't do that when you're not in that gratitude mindset. And again, for me, it's thinking about death. And so you talk about those things, but like, that's how you set it out.
Well, Keaton, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. We talked about one foot in front of the other and then just being in your heart space, loving yourself and continuing to move forward. And, you know, how do our guests reach out to you, connect with you? How do they find you?
So I answer all my DMs. I know that sounds crazy, but I answer all my DMs on Instagram. It's the period muscle. If they want to reach out, my mentoring program, Limitless Society, is limitlesssociety.com. I love everybody to join because I want to change the world, and I'm going to do it 10,000 people at a time. And then the biggest thing is my event that's coming up on September 23rd. If they want to come to the event, get tickets, it's thelimitlessarena.com.
Thank you so much. We appreciated you on the show, and, there's anything we can do to help you, let us know.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it.
Loved it, man. Thank you, sir.